we'll land in the book of Acts just for a moment, and then get ready to go into the Old Testament. And if you've got your little markers there, you might want to go to Nehemiah. We'll go back there in just a second, Nehemiah chapter 8. But let's start in Acts chapter 2. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, one, and to the fellowship of the breaking of bread, two and three, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. This is at the very beginning, after Jesus dies on the cross. He raises it again. He's risen from the dead, and he says, go and make disciples of all nations. People start getting saved, and this church starts coming to the forefront. And so it's the very beginning of that. And we see there are some things that are key to church, to gathering together. Sometimes we neglect some of these things. We say that the teaching of the Word of God is up there. Hey, I agree with you. Absolutely, it should be, and I hope you feel that as you come here. Fellowship, sometimes that can be looked at through different lenses. We can think, well, you know, I come on Sunday, but to fellowship outside of that with other believers and encourage and, you know, iron sharpens iron, I don't do a lot of that. We could say that maybe the breaking of bread, like actually eating a meal together. When you go to somebody's house and you just eat food together, it's good. It's very good. But it's actually biblical. It is very good. And more than just the food being consumed is happening there. I call it like some holy ingredients here. It's very important to do that. And then there's prayer. Now, this is where I want to spend a little bit of time. I feel like this is an area like we're like teaching, eating, yes. And prayer is maybe like, I know about it. I pray sometimes, but like, is it as valuable or as important to you as the Word? And I think that it's all encompassing. It doesn't list one like the best one is this, second best that, you know, the bottom list is that. It's all together. And I think sometimes we kind of miss the mark, and I'm just saying that for myself personally. So this time in Scripture, this is a very exciting time. This is a joyous time. The church is just kind of launching. So when I said I want to go to Nehemiah, I want to go back to another very exciting time. And I want to look for some of the moving parts back in the Old Testament about, like, why was this exciting? What were people excited about back then? And so let's go there. So Nehemiah chapter 8. And we'll just start in verse 1 for a second here. And so we're going to start reading through it, but we'll just pause along the way because we have to make sure we understand and kind of expand upon what's being said here. So Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. Now at that point, if we think about, okay, we're way back here, we're in Nehemiah, you know, okay, so maybe some other books we could, you know, it's not in chronological order, but we'd say, okay, there's not a lot of options there. No New Testament at that point. I mean, we're talking no Jesus at that point. So what are we talking about here? And so historically and theologically, it points to, and there's a bunch of different words here. We can use Pentateuch, we can use Torah, the first five books of the Bible. That's what they were reading. So they're reading through those first five books of the Bible, because that's what they had. The Torah itself was compiled over time by individual documents. If we look at the Torah, it's not just written by one writer. You know, it's a historical passing on of information that was written down. We see that very clearly. And it was put onto scrolls and maybe tablets. It was being taught. It was being archived for you and I today. It was a very important piece of Scripture. It was being copied and recopied and double-checked to make sure it was still the same. It was very sacred, and it was very holy, what was being read. I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of this as well, is that, you know, when I do my devotion every day, and I read a chapter every day, and I spend some time in prayer, there's just moments after a good day of fishing where my eyes are a little bit tighter than they were the day before. My arms a little bit, it's harder to hold my Bible up because my arms are exhausted from jigging all day. that maybe it's not quite as exciting to me that morning, the scriptures. And maybe it's not even like it's dull or something, but maybe I'm not really taking away what I really want to. But instead of carefully listening to every word that's being written there and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me and say, how does this actually apply to me right now? I don't actually have to wait till Sunday for a pastor to preach it and for me to understand it. It's actually going to feed me right now, and I want to eat from it. I had a buddy one time who would do this. I just love, it's just an illustration, but he would always just be like, I just want to drink the word of God. He would just kind of prepare himself. Oh, Lord, just fill me up so that I could teach the word. Like, is it that exciting for us? And we might say, well, Pastor, maybe you don't do such a great job preaching the word, so the scriptures don't really do that much for me, and I hope you don't ever lean over to anybody and go, amen to that. You know, please don't say that in Jesus' name. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we sometimes have that. We're like, you know, I go to conferences and I go to other churches. I'm like, it didn't really touch me there. Or it wasn't really, I couldn't really understand what he was saying. But the word was read aloud. And how does that impact you? Versus making it feel good for you. Because, you know, there will be times when you're going to be like, Pastor Rob, that was terrible. I didn't even understand what you're saying, that, you know, whatever. But did this thing, because I can't change that. I can only try and explain it to you. But did that speak to you? And I really hope that you would say amen to that. So let's just look a little further here. And we're having some fun together because this was a joyous time, right? So, on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened intently to the book of the law. You see, most people at that time, though, in that ancient world, had some kind of literacy, but to actually like sit down and study, like that's not what they did. You worked the land, you worked the harvest, you're a farmer. Like you didn't spend a lot of time just in scripture, reading it, or you know, spending time, you know, on being able to read and write. So they often had little access to. There wasn't like a library at the time. It wasn't like, okay, kids, go off to the library and get something for the, you know, it's a long weekend, school's out, you know, we got to get something. Like, there just wasn't that. It was like, go play with the sticks and rocks. Like, it was just, that was what was around, you know, play with the snakes or something, just don't get bit. And so that was all they had. But what they did have these scrolls and they did have these tablets. And they would often, this is the way it was designed to be, you would read it. It was there to be read aloud. It was there to be information to be transferred. They didn't obviously have any kind of smart devices that would just click on and do whatever. You actually had to go find it. You had to ask grandpa where it was in the Bible. It was there for us to be taught through it, just the reading of it. It was there, to be archived, but it was to be read aloud. And so let's just see as they read it aloud some of the things that start happening here in verse 5. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them at this gate. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Oh, yeah, the reading of the word of God, we just stand in awe of it. Ezra praised the Lord and the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen and amen. And they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. There's a lot of moving parts to that. You know, when you hear the word, does it get you excited? Like, wow. Does it like, oh God, I just want to humble myself in your presence. And I want to say amen to the word of God. Even when I'm reading through Leviticus, amen and amen. Even though when it seems dry sometimes in Numbers, like it's the word of God. It's powerful. It's exciting when it's read out loud. I did something years ago when I was in Whitehorse. It was kind of like here and there. So you're kind of like this hub church. And then we went up to Dawson City. We would go south to Watson Lake, and we go kind of southwest to Atlin, B.C. And often those churches were without pastors. And so I had the privilege as the assistant associate pastor to go and preach in those churches. And sometimes there was 100, and sometimes there was a few. And I remember I went to Atlin one time, and no one showed up. And then I prepared a message, and I was all like, okay, this is going to be awesome, and I don't care if it's one or 100 show up or a million. This is going to be great, and none showed up. And so I didn't even preach. And I have a lot of mentors in my life, and I told my mentor the story. He said, you're an idiot. You're so foolish. Why wouldn't you preach the message? I was like, that just seems weird, man. I'm going to preach to myself? He's like, no. You prepare, you teach, and you read the word aloud because something happens in the spiritual realm. Something happens in people. So maybe those people said, well, I couldn't make it this morning, whatever. It was honestly, it was cold, man. It was like freezing out. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm tired. It's just frozen. And it was just like, I barely made it. They're alive. So those people stayed home. But as you read the word, even if they didn't come to the church, that community was impacted by the word of God because you spoke it aloud the way it was designed. I was like, I never, ever do that ever again. I'm always going to preach the word of God. I'm always going to present it, no matter who shows up, because that's the power of the word of God. It's designed for that. It's not designed for it to tickle our fancy and to kind of meet all of our needs. It's designed to be spoken and read and understood, and we should get excited about it, and there should be passion in the room. There should be like hallelujahs and preach it again, and they, you know, come on. Like, that's what it's there for. Something's happening right now. Like, something's seriously happening. You got out of bed, you all dressed up, you came here, and God's feeding you just because of his word. Not my words, spoken word. So be fed this morning. Let's be well fed this morning. Let's go to verse 8. They read the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. So sometimes we do this often, right? I'll pause. I'll make sure, like, do you understand what it's saying? Does that make sense to you? Just to kind of flesh it out a little bit so that when you're reading it, it's not just like right over your head. It's going to speak to you anyways, but it's nice to understand what you're hearing. You know, like, it's so theological. It's so deep. Those words you're using are so, I can't understand what you're saying. Give it to me. You ever said that to somebody? You listen to them? Give it to me in plain English. Like, I don't even know what you're saying. You know, a doctor says that often. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, just, you know, I don't understand what you're saying. You know, make it clear. And so we make it clear. Verse 9, then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is sacred to the Lord your God. Don't mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. There's a couple things happening here. Let's just unpack the people that are in this story. So Ezra is probably much older than Nehemiah. Ezra, we see here, is the priest and the scribe. It's really kind of like the religious person of that time. Now, the scribe of those days had a combination of roles. They were typically usually the lawyer, maybe the public notary, the scholar, the consultant, because the scribes were the most educated people of the day, so they were the teachers. They were the ones that would read the scriptures and explain it to people, versus Nehemiah, who was, you know, we see as the governor of the time. So even though he has a political role as the governor, he's still passionate about God. He is still part of this team. It's an Ezra and Nehemiah team effort here. Now, Ezra could just be like, oh, okay, Ezra, I'm the governor over here. I'm busy, man. Like, look, I got to run this whole place. Like, I don't know what's going on over here. Like, you do it all. But no, Nehemiah is like this. You know, he was like a lay person, we would say, not a member, maybe not the pastor, the prophet, but he was motivated by his relationship with God to see God's word go forward. He was passionate about it. And such people, like, it's essential to our roles. It's essential to our beings. It's essential to our life that God has a special calling on you wherever you are. And so, like, Almi and I worked in retail for a long time before we became pastors at a church. And we wanted to represent Christ there. And so if you're maybe a teacher, how do you interact in the world? You're not really the prophet or the priest or the pastor, but you go out there and you teach young kids. So what do? Well, you love on those young kids. You be an example to them. You know their birthday. You know what kind of food they like. And so when they see you in the community, they want to hang out with you because of your example to them, that you're different. You're not like other teachers. When you serve, I've had the blessing of having so many wonderful bosses over me that just treated me so well. They said, we want your best in mind. We're not there to micromanage you or to be like, you're just second in class, you know, second in command. You know, they always gave me space. I served under wonderful bosses. Be that for people. What about some family members? There are so many people that their biological parents maybe aren't here or didn't want them. And so you've had to adopt or foster them. Like, be the most loving family member that they never got before. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to say, oh, you know, you're just, you know, you're going to be here for a short time, or, you know, I didn't know too much about, like, I'm going to invest in my biological, but you are just, you know. Don't do that. You know, love on them. That's what it's talking about here. Because as they heard the word, it really convicted them, and they got into a time of mourning and weeping. Not like, you know, but like a time of like, I need to pull up my socks. Like, I need to get right with the Lord. And so I'm gonna stand, I'm gonna bow before the Lord because I hear the word of God being preached and I want to respond to it. That's what's happening at this time. Let's go on to verse 10 for just a little bit here. Now Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some of those to those who have not prepared. So again, you know, it was read all day. Daybreak, so the sun's up till noon. Like, I'm hungry now. You're gonna go get some food. Go get some actual, like, physical food for your body. But there are tons of people that don't have food. So make sure you prepare enough for them, too. Because make sure that they get blessed, too. Sometimes we just think, okay, I'm getting all the blessing, you know, church, you know, Bible study, you know, me. And then all of a sudden, what about everybody else? What about the other person that's not saved yet? What about the other person that doesn't know Christ yet? Because we were all there before. And what brought you around? The love of Christ through people. And so be that for other people. Don't just arrive and be comfortable now. Red carpet's out for you. You're a member now of the church. You know, you get special favor here now. I'm joking. Like, that's silly talk. It's crazy to think that there would be anything different, that God would look any differently at me or the person in the back, the person helping, or the person with any kind of ministry in our church. There would be any difference. You know, whether you're a member, non-member, saved, unsaved, you know, you read the word all the time, you don't read the word, like, pray all the time, you know, like, there's no favoritism here. It's not what God's talking about. He's saying, hey, if you are able to and you're blessed, just bless others. Invite them in. Take them in. Share with others. Share the blessing. That's what he's saying here. This day is sacred to the Lord our God. Don't grieve. Stop grieving. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And right there we go, oh, now I'm excited. Woo! The joy of the Lord's my strength. Put it all over t-shirts and, you know, me social media, you know, Facebook posts, you know, write cards. Oh, to the joy. And I write cards and I got a birthday card here. I got to give to somebody this morning. But, you know, to the kids, oh, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, hey, you know, Merry Christmas and happy birthdays. And then we just land there. But do you see the context where that landed? The joy of the Lord is my strength. What joy? Where did that come from? What are you joyful about? What did we just read? The reading of the Word of God from morning till noon put joy in my heart, which gave me strength. Come on. Like, do you see that so clearly? And so when we have our days, we go through our days, and we hear the Word of God today, it's there to give you strength. I mean, we should be like, okay, something that's going to give me strength. I'm going to be excited about that. I'm excited about it, you know. Or, oh my gosh, I am over the moon over that. Like, the Word of God is out there, and it's going to give me strength. Give me a double portion. You know, give me, I want to supersize that thing. Like, give me more of it. Who cares about lunch? You know, you'll have sweet things later, it says. But give me the word. Give me the spoken word. That's where we find strength. So often we take that out of context. We say that, oh, the joy of the Lord is just going to come to me and I'm going to have strength. And we don't do anything about it. Like, it's not an effort. I want to be careful. It's not about works. I understand that. It's not about anything about that. But the context here, where it is written, is so valuable for us to understand. that when we pursue the things of the Lord and we're being fed and taught and we're together in fellowship, then all of a sudden a joy comes, an unspeakable joy. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember you were yoked in slavery and bondage and heaviness? It was horrible. It's fearful. You're worried all the time. And then the Lord yoked you with his yoke. That's easy and light. And you felt alive. And there was some joy. And there were some tears. And God wants you to stay there. He doesn't want you to kind of, oh, that was old school. I'm done with that now. Now I'm just, you know, got it all together. No, stay there. That's where we'll find our strength. The Levites, in verse 11, calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a sacred day. Don't grieve. This isn't a heaviness. Verse 12, then all the people went away to eat and drink and set portions of food to celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. The more that we understand this, the more joy we find. The more freedom we find, the more strength that we find. Isn't that exciting? Like, wow, I can't wait. I hurry up and end the service. I want to get home and just start reading some more of God's word. Like, I'm hungry for lunch too, and I got some great lunch. We got some fish the other day. We got some crab. I'm excited about some crab. But, man, I want some more of the word before I get there. I want to get excited about that. I want to get passionate about that. So we see some context there. In verse 13, it says, on the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and Levites, gathered around Ezra, the scribe, to give attention, to focus upon the words in the Bible. And that's exactly where the context comes again. The joy of the Lord. That's my context. That's where I'm finding strength. If I could just share a couple ideas with you, just some personal thoughts now. And then we'll finish off with some piece of scripture. We'll finish off the story here. But if I can just share my heart a little bit, if that's okay, just some things that I feel like are going on. Please let me flesh out my idea, my thought with you before you kind of read into it, because I don't want us to get off context. There are some great things happening in this church right now. There are some areas, and don't read into this, please, that maybe aren't so good. And I want to share one of them with you. Age is taking some people away from our church. These men and women and elders in our church, at some point, you know, the clock is ticking. And don't think of that as a negative. Don't read into that. But I believe that there is a generation, we call it the great retirement we see with baby boomers, and we see a great, you know, passing away of knowledge, of wisdom, of longevity, all of these things going. And my concern, my personal concern, it's not a fear, it's just my concern, is that that way of thinking, that generation is saying, we're done with that way of thinking. We're done with that way of living. Where all of that education and wisdom and the things that are brought to the table about just being consistent, being faithful, being prayer warriors, serving, all those kind of things, a different generation is coming thinking like, it's about me and my needs, and I don't need to give back too much. That's my personal concern. But don't take that as a negative, please. Just don't hear my heart in that. Is that I think as a church, we need to press in Jesus' name. Like we've never done before, and we see this message, and we're like, yeah, okay, the word of God, I understand that, I understand what you're saying, but like, seriously, press in. Like, take it for real. Don't say, oh, that's a good message, Pastor. Well, thank you so much. And then we go on with life. Like, a shift in our church of thinking. A shift in the way that we operate and think that it's just always going to be here for us. But what has God brought you here for? What mantle is God asking you to carry? Because in not too long, it's going to look a lot different. Many of us would say that are here for a long time, even in my 6 years. I look out here and I say, half the people are brand new. I don't even know half my church right now. It's going to keep looking different. So, that's wonderful. That's that we should be excited about that. And then what are we called to do with that? How do we respond to that? So our church is shifting. Things are happening. There's a generation. Again, I feel like we should be praying. We should be excited about God's word. Let's keep pressing in. So this morning, You know me well enough. You know, if you're a guest here or you're watching online, you might go, well, that was a bit, you know, up in my space. You know how much I care for you. You know my heart for you. You know how much I love you. But let me lead you right now in something. Every so often, you know, we need to touch a button. In life, and I'm guilty of this, like, if you're trying to get to a doctor's appointment, I hate to say that, it's terrible, isn't it? Or to the dentist, or to a massage, or to your specialist appointment, it's like pulling teeth. It's so hard. And so if you get a date or a time, like, you are rearranging your entire life to make sure that you get to that appointment because it's important to you. Your health is important to you. I get that. But if we can rearrange our schedules like that, can't we rearrange our schedules for when God prompts us to do something or God asks us to be a part of something? Is there that same kind of priority when we think about the things of God versus the things of this world? Not, I know that's hard. Please don't hear that, you know, beyond just me sharing my heart with you. I want us to be passionate. I want us to be joyful. I want us to be full of God's presence. And I want you to know as you sit here this morning, there were people all week praying for this morning. There were people that walked up and down these aisles and laid their hands on every chair that in Jesus' name, the person that sits here, would they be full and would they receive from Christ with everything that God has for them this morning. Do you know that there's people here at 9 a.m. in this prayer room praying that God would show up in the service? Do you know how much that doesn't just happen? And it doesn't cost anything. It costs some of your time. Are you willing to give some of your time? Because so often we can just get comfortable and just be, it's good. Right? It is good. I hope, looking out there now, you guys, I'm being a little bit hard on you now, so you're a little bit like, well, that was a little bit, ow, that kind of hurt. But it's good, isn't it? It's joyful. This is fun. You know, you come here, you're excited. But how do you want to help set the table for that? Because when somebody comes here, I want them to be loved. I want them to feel the joy of the Lord. I want them to experience Jesus. And even if they don't come here, we're going to prepare, and as we read the word, it's going to go out of these walls. It's going to go into our community. It's going to change our community. And I hope you believe that. I hope you sense that. Like, oh, it's good. It's so sweet. I can't wait to go outside and tell somebody about the Lord because of the good things that he's doing in our church. And so it's all about God. It's his timing, however he wants to play that out. Those are just, again, it's just my heart with you. I want to share my heart with you because I want you to sense that. So when Pastor Ben and I met last week, he's not here to kind of echo this. I wish he was. We talked about this idea of when we read that word, we see it in the Old Testament. And when we see that when the church was launched, we see a similar pattern. And so I want us to do that as a church. And so we've been done this for years. We're very conservative Pentecostal, so it's not going to get out of control and swinging from chandeliers, I promise you. June 23rd, 7 p.m. I'm giving it to you right now. We'll put it on the website. You're going to have all that information soon. We're going to have a prayer and worship night, just like what they did there. And we'll allow God to do whatever God wants to do. So we're going to come together. We're going to sing some songs, worship. We're going to worship with the reading of Scripture. We're going to worship with prayer. I'm going to encourage you, if you come out, you're just going to lean over to your neighbor. We'll have some time. Let's just pray for one another. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for addictions that would be broken over people. We'll have some time of prayer. And then as we're going to read here in just a second, let me just read it so we don't, just a second. It is just a second, so I better read it. Nehemiah, we'll just kind of finish the story now. Chapter 9, verse 3, it says this. They stood where they were and read the book of the law of the Lord, their God, we read that earlier, a quarter of the day. And they spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping God. And that's what we want to do. We want to spend some time worshiping, reading, prayer, and then we want to add on holy ingredients, some confessional time. When's the last time you confessed? When's the last time you put your stuff on the table? Because the more you hang on to it, the harder it is. Doesn't it feel weighty? I apologize. I'm going to some really difficult places with you today. Wouldn't you want a space where you can confess? There isn't going to be a microphone in your face. There isn't going to be, you know, tell your neighbor. It's going to be between you and the Lord. It's a time of confession. Lord, I am so angry at this situation right now. God, I don't understand what you're doing right now, and this makes no sense to me. I'm frustrated. Confess it to God. And then, as we're going to be doing here, we're going to be like rejoicing, right? Singing songs, hearing God's word, praying for one another. It'll be a joyful time as well, I promise. It won't just be like a tearjerker time for like a quarter of the day. We will spend some time in joy. And then I promise you we'll have some snacks, because I love sweets and all that kind of stuff. So at the very end, it says, scripturally, follow the Bible, no sweets in the beginning. You know, do that first, and then we'll have some sweets at the end. I'm just trying to make it light for you. Please understand my heart. I hope that makes sense. As always, my door's always open, even after the service. If you want me to kind of just ask or answer some questions, please do that. Don't feel scared. Don't feel intimidated. This is good. We've got to talk about these difficult things sometimes. I'm going to flip back now just right to where we landed this day, Acts chapter 2. Let's just reread that and allow that to just minister to us for a second. So again, the very first church that we find in the New Testament, they're coming together and they're doing certain things. So Acts 2, 42 to 44. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. We often miss that. We think, okay, yeah, we should pray, we should, you know, we should hear the word, we should worship. And then look at what would come out of that. I love formulas. If we did this, what would it equal? Did you pick it up? Did you see that right at the end there? And everything in common. Common. If we want a unified, supporting, encouraging church, those are the things that we do. You can't do it backwards. Like, we just want our church to all get along and be happy and get, you know, all these kind of things. But we don't care about those other things. Our whole focus, all of our mission statements, our whole value as a church is just get along with one another. Well, you can't have that unless you do these things. Because without that, you're not going to be unified. We won't be unified. There's going to be division. There's going to be strife. There's going to be these kind of things. But if we get that right, it's almost a guarantee that we'll be unified. Oh, somebody say hallelujah in Jesus' name. Come on. Isn't that so good? This is what we've got to work towards. These are the things that God's calling us to. It's exciting, and sometimes it's a little bit, you know, hard to hear. But I want to do this. I want to just kind of close my Bible. I want to spend a moment in prayer, and then I want to get offline because I want to share one more thing with you. So this morning, Father, we're so grateful for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it brings to us. As I was preparing for this message, I see in Nehemiah just the kind of the mourning and the struggle that the people were going through with the spoken word. And so we're here this morning, Father. I don't want us to be in a lane of, you know, woe is me and oh, it's so hard. I want us to be in a joyous place, a wonderful place, a place where we're so grateful for it. As I consider holding this Bible, I think back to the day when they held the very first scroll, the very first tablet, just the power of it, the anointing, thinking, you know, it was just written for the first time on that. Let it be the same for us today, Father, that as we hold the Word of God, it's like the very first time we've ever held it or we've ever read it. Let it come alive in Jesus' name. Let it fill us in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Amen.